This morning we're going to be taking our reading, our scripture reading from Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, and the subject will be prayer. Before I start, I've been wanting to do one on prayer because prayer to me is something powerful that when, like I said before, in other talks that I've given about, mentioned about prayer, about how before I did, I was born in the truth but never really practiced the truth. But I know what prayer meant, but I never did pray. Just because, of my talk today is that you have to be in the right mind. You have to, it has to be for the right reasons. You just can't pray just to pray. And it's an everyday, it's a practice, it's a faith, it's commitment. You just can't pray just to pray. And I knew that, so that's why I didn't pray. But I knew prayer worked just because of everything that I went through. With my family praying for me, and so I do know prayer works. So I do know that works. All right, Matthew 6, starting with verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men in their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive trespasses. Let's also turn to Psalms 4. Psalms 4, starting with verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer their sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There have been many that say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up thy light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's also turn to Psalms 55. Psalms 55, starting with verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise. Because of thy voice of thy enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in the wrath they hate me. My heart is sore, pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then when I would fly away, it be at rest. Lo, then, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongue. And I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go out upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me, that I would have hid myself from them. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there was many with me. God shall hear or afflict them, even the abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. We're going to read one more in Psalms 35. Psalms 35, starting with verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strife with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of a shield and a buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to the shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as a chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction, let him fall. Prayer is speaking. What is prayer? Prayer is speaking with God. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. What is prayer? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee a great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Let's also turn to Genesis 20. Genesis 20, starting with verse 1 through 8, and then we're going to read 17. Genesis 20, 1 through 8, and then verse 17. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in integrity of thy heart, For I also withhold thee from thee. I also withhold thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. He shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Skip to 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants and their male children. God in his mercy intervened to keep his promise regarding Sarah from being destroyed by Abraham's foolish act. In addition to warning Abimelech that Sarah was married, the Lord had also created a health crisis in his household, causing all the other women to become temporarily sterile. Because Abimelech had acted with integrity and innocence, God would not destroy the governmental leadership. As Abraham's intercession with God had saved Lot's life, so now his prayer for Abimelech would save his life. Let's turn to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, starting with verse 12. This is Moses asking for God's favor. Exodus 33, starting with verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up these people, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know when thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may now know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us up hence. For when shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, and I thy people from all thy people that are upon the face of the earth. And then the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. After God nearly destroyed the Israelites for worshiping the golden calf, Moses talks with God about his position of leadership. He seeks to confirm his favor in God's sight. Let's turn to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Starting with verse 1. I'm actually starting with verse 3. Philippians 1, starting with chapter verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you are making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it meet for me to think this of you, of all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that you love me abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all thy judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. This is a beautiful guide for when praying for other believers, that their love may abound more and more. Let's turn back to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Starting with verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. This is a powerful prayer that proclaims how God's character, holiness, and righteousness pave a straight path for us. Let's turn to Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Here Jonah prays for thanksgiving and a commitment. Jonah 2, starting with verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and in the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to thy soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple. That they observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out of Jonah upon the dry land. Hell is the realm of dead, the grave. The fish's stomach is metaphorically like a tomb. Jonah thought he was dead, and perhaps he literally was at some point. This parallels with Christ's resurrection on the third day. We can find this in Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In verses 3 and 5 depict Jonah's dire circumstances. He sees both the billows and the waves as judgment tools of God. But verse 4 sounds a note of faith and hope. Though he had been cast out of God's sight, he expected to look upon again towards his holy temple, which means he expected he would lived again to pray again. Jonah remembers God's saving love and confirms his commitment to serve him. Is there evidence that God answers prayers? Is there evidence that God does answer prayers? Well, the scripture clearly teaches that. And yes, the answer is yes. Let's turn to James. Let's turn to James 5. Verses 13 and 20. Verses 13 through 20. James 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. is any mercy, let him sing psalms. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church of the ecclesia and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall have a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's also turn to John, 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do these things, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Also, 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The scripture shows us stories of answered prayers. Elijah's prayer for fire from heaven. Let's turn to 2 Kings. Second Kings 1. Starting with verse 9. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50. Which is 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill, and spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven, and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven, and consumed him and his 50. Again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50, with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said, Unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in the sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down unto him, be not afraid of him. And he rose and went down with him unto the king. Also, Hezekiah's prayer for deliverance. Let's turn over to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19, starting with verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Of truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord of God, I beseech thee, save thou at us of his hands, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And we're going to look at one more. In the apostles, pray for boldness. Let's turn to Acts. Acts chapter 4. Starting with verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them is. Whom by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whosoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold, there threatens and grantest unto thy servants that which all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to healing, to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake with the word of God with boldness. These are just three examples. There's a lot more that we could talk about, but these are just three examples that I come up with. Since these accounts were written by eyewitnesses to the events, they constitute clear evidence of answered prayers. So the answer to the question is yes, God does answer prayers. We're going to make a 180 and let's ask this question. Are there reasons for unanswered prayers? Are there any reasons for unanswered prayers? Let's turn to Psalms 66. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's also turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. James notes that when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. A couple of reasons for unanswered prayers are wrong motivations, and I think is a big one, is a lack of faith. Let's turn to James 1. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm going to read that one again. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6 also identifies faith as a necessary condition for a relationship with God, something always meditated by prayer in the name of Christ. Faith then is necessary for answered prayer. Jesus pray. Let's turn to Luke. Let's turn to Luke 5. Luke 5, verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So the answer to the question would be yes. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. What do we pray for? Let's turn to Philippians 4. Verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Is God very willing to hear and answer our prayers? Is God very willing to hear and answer our prayers? Let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And how do we pray? How are we supposed to pray? Let's turn to Matthew 6. 5 through 8. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. Which was my opening scriptures. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. I like that verse. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask of him. How often should we pray? Do we pray every day? Once a day? Twice a day? How often should we pray? Let's turn to Thessalonians. Thessalonians 5, 17. Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. So how often should we pray? Pray without ceasing. All the time. If we ask God, will He answer? If we ask, will God answer? Let's turn to Matthew, back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. If we ask, will God answer? Ask and it shall be given. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I think 7 is an important one that people misunderstand, or number 8 they misunderstand, but they don't understand 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek, I think, is an important word. I think you need to seek out, find it. I think that's what a lot of people don't understand of the other religions. What's our motive for prayer needs to be in the right place. Our motive for prayers need to be in the right place. Let's turn to James 4. James 4, verse 3. Our motive for prayers need to be in the right place. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may assume it upon your lusts. Our motives have to be correct. They have to be for God. They have to be in faith. They have to be pure. They can't just pray to want something to, you know, you have a bad day and, you know, you want something to, you know, something that's not correct. It's just, I mean, I was there when I was growing up. I didn't pray. There was no reason to pray. And I hate to say that. But my mind, my motives, and my heart was in it. It's a lot of its heart that it wasn't in it. It just wasn't, I wasn't there. I knew enough in the truth not to pray because I knew it wasn't going to do anything. But I had my family around praying for me, and that's why I'm a firm believer of prayers. Prayers do work because I'm a living testimony of being here, because I think my family had a lot to do with it. So, what if God does not answer our prayers right away? Should we get discouraged? What if God does not answer our prayer right away? Should we get discouraged? Let's turn to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. This parable speaks to the common tendency to become discouraged and stop praying before receiving an answer from God. So just because we pray and we don't receive it, doesn't mean God's not listening. That means we keep praying. We keep holding fast. We keep our faith. Doesn't mean we give up and get discouraged. But you can't give up. You have to keep trying. You have to have that heart and that faith to keep praying. We should have a spirit of love and forgiveness in our hearts when we come to God. We should have a spirit of love and forgiveness in our hearts when we come to God. Let's turn to Mark 11. Mark Mark 11, starting with verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast out in the sea, and thou shalt no doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things whosoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And we are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John 14. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And in closing, why is it important to pray? I was going through some readings and I found this passage, and it says, why is it important to pray? And I thought, when I came across it, I thought this was very, very detailed. I liked it. Why is it important to pray? Just as the Bible is important for teaching us about who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and who we are in him, so also is prayer a key part of building a deeper and abiding relationship with God. When we read the Bible, God speaks to us. When we pray, we speak to God. Now enter into our memorial part of the service. We'll be singing hymn 157. Wherever, Lord, thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where they seek thee, thou art found, in every place is hallowed ground. Hymn 157. The Orlando Ecclesia basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Starting with verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth always in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it has pleased the Father that in him should be all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his stake by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which ye have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is in the ecclesia, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God, who would make known were the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto you I also labor, striving according to his work, which worketh in me mightily. The purpose of Paul's prayer was that all their conduct would please the Lord. Such behavior involves the performance of good deeds, continuous spiritual growth, dependence of his power resulting in endurance, patience, and joy, and expressing gratitude for all things. Being delivered and translated evokes an Old Testament imagery of God rescuing his people from the grip of hostile oppressors. Believers have been set free from the realm of oppression by having been transferred to the realm of Christ, a kingdom in light. The means of this exodus was their redemption through the forgiveness of sins because of Christ's atoning work. I also want to read Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. With that, we'll turn to the account. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. I have received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now call on Dave to give thanks for the bread.
Our most heavenly gracious Father in heaven, Yahweh, we come once again humbly before thy throne of grace in thanksgiving for the many blessings you provide us this day, especially to be able to meet around this table and remember your Son who gave his life for himself and for those after that will believe and be baptized into his name. At this time we ask your blessing upon this bread. We know it's a symbol of his body. And we are reminded in taking of it the horrific death that he went through and proclaiming to do those things only pleasing in your sight. We pray that as we partake of this bread that we may be guided by that example and that we may follow the path that he took, seek only to do those things that are right. Dear God, we pray for the soon return of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and establishment of the kingdom upon this earth. For we know that we go astray and we seek your blessing and guidance. But we also know that the world in which we live is one which has no ending but that of evil. And we seek your guidance and direction that as we partake of these elements, especially the bread at this time, that we seek to focus on the commitment that each of us made as we walk through the waters of baptism to those things that are right. It is to that end and hope and pray and give thanks for thine only begotten Son, our High Priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
We'll now call upon Daniel to give thanksgiving for the wine.
Oh, Yahweh. Gracious, eternal Father, together before thee, in memory now of the sacrifice of thy Son. We see in this cup temptation, the reminder of his blood poured out to ultimately wash away the sin of the world. We know that this stain of sin was brought on by man's failing, and that all were born in that heritage. We also know that by your son's blood, we have the chance to come out of that, the heirs with him. We pray that we'll be reminded of his perfect example, his dedication, self-sacrifice, even unto death, that he may be the first fruits of the resurrection, that by your grace and mercy extended through his name, we may be the final harvest. Pray all this through his name, as our elder brother has gone on before, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We will close with the singing of hymn 64. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each, the truth possessing, bear its fruits and run the race. Hymn number 64. Can we get Brother Bill to close with a word of prayer?